trust these people, dot, dot, dot. They have been lost for years sitting in the pews. Maybe this is a church issue that COVID has just brought to light. If these people are willing to leave and never return, then maybe the church has to ask, all capital letters, why? It is hard to get people to go to church, harder to get them to go regularly, but you had them. Were they not moved, motivated, encouraged, supported, or even known? Most churches want to grow and get bigger, but if you're not reaching the people that are right there with you each week, then what good does it do to gain more people and become a bigger church? Now, that might hit you at first reading as, yeah. Now, I know, and you know, the church has a mandate from God to be the gathering place of God's people. That the church is to have an attitude of love for all people, both saint and sinner. We all know that people come and go. Some seem to make that commitment, and then you don't see them again. I got a phone call about a week and a half ago from an individual that said to me, "Hey, it's me. I just wanted you to know, Patrick, I didn't leave the church. But I had some health issues. And I'm going to come back, and I want you to know that. And God bless them. But no matter how much during those last past 8 years the phone calls were made, there was no answer." So here's my point. COVID-19 will not destroy the church of the living God. Satan himself, the gates of hell, will not destroy the church of the living God. And while your attitude and your lifestyle and your openness and your transparency and your humility and your humbleness may influence somebody's positive or negative view of the church, let me remind everybody that will hear the word of God, you are a branch, not the vine. He is the vine. We are the branches. If you are connected to Christ, if He is the one that is feeding your soul and your mind, nothing in due time will keep you away from the house of the living God, His called out church, to separate themselves from the world and worship God. You see, brothers and sisters, it is maybe innocent in the comments that I read, but it's naive. If God has called you, if you are washed in the blood of Jesus Christ, if His Spirit lives in you, oh, you may come and go, attend, and your attendance may be infrequent at times, but no one who is in God's hand, who is sovereign will fall away because of COVID-19. Or will fall away because he was rude. Or will fall away because they didn't say hi to me. The Bible says that there is one and only one who keeps you. And it's not me, and it's not the eldership, it's not your spouse, it's not your best friend, it's not your children. The only one who keeps you is God Himself. And that there is why we worship the Lord. For me to think that if I can preach it right and if I can say it right, which most often I can't, but for me to think that if I do it just right, that that's what's going to keep people coming is arrogant and naive. It is God who draws people into His house through the Spirit of God, and let His people say amen and hallelujah. In Psalm 150, the last psalm in Scripture to close, we highlighted last week, let everything that has breath praise the Lord, because God is the one who gives breath and sustains life. So let those creatures praise the Lord. The Psalms open up the first word in the first psalm with blessed, and end in the last psalm with the last word, hallelujah, or praise the Lord. We said last week that the word hallelujah is two Hebrew words that come together, hallel meaning praise, Yah meaning Yahweh, praise God. And psalms comes from a word in Hebrew that means singing or song, that there is rejoicing, and that in these psalms we see lamenting and sadness and sorrow, but we see joy and hope, we see prayer, and we see songs of praise. There's just so much in these psalms. But today, while last week we said we sing a hallelujah because God commands it, today we see not only the commands of God, but we see that worship is an expression of entering into personal fellowship with God through worship. I want you to follow along and look at Psalms 100 with me. There we go. Shout for joy, all the earth. Now, you know what's different about this psalm? This psalm is written basically in the same time period. Most would attribute it to David. Possibly it was. But David here, instead of just focusing on the people of Israel, God's chosen people, here he says that the shout of joy to the Lord is an invitation not only to God's people, but to what? All the earth. It's almost as if it is absolutely expected. Let all the nations, let all people, Jewish people and Gentile people, during the time of David, come to the temple and enter his courts and shout. This word shout can mean a shout of triumph, a shout of war, as in a war cry, a shout of glory, a shout of hallelujah. It's to blast forth words from one's diaphragm, shout. But what does shout really convey? Now, I come from Southern churches where the quieter you are, the straighter you set up in the pew, the more reverent you're being. This is the house of the Lord. But I want to tell you, like it or not, and I hope you like it, biblical praise is noisy. Biblical worship is noisy. And they're loud and they're noisy because the glory of God is not something the people of God keep quiet about. But we have for too many generations. And I'm not talking here that we just sort of induce things that aren't genuine and sincere, because we don't have to. We have this wonderful, great God who gives us so many motivational and rational reasons to shout. And yet, many will look at that as irreverent. Someone says, give a hallelujah to the Lord. You know, when we started that last week, it was like, hallelujah. Praise the Lord. And I'm not trying to force something out of people, but I do think here at Kentwood Christian Church, as we grow and learn and embrace the full gospel of Scripture, that we look at what God wants from us. And this says, shout. Worship isn't quiet. Worship is loud. Make a joyful noise is how many translations translate this verse. But this is the most literal translation. Make a joyful noise to the Lord. Oh, that guitar's too loud. The drums. I'm just thinking, what if we had cymbals? And I don't mean just the little cymbals, but the big cymbals. And just started banging on them. I remember a while back, Hispanic guy who I just was sort of convinced he might be an angel. Because he would just be here, then he was gone. Then he would be here and he was gone. And 3 years later, he'd be here and he was gone. I thought, Lord, is this one of those visiting angels you talk about in Hebrew? And he'd be back there just hitting on that tambourine during worship. And a few people were so disturbed. Tell him to quit beating the tambourine. I can't do it. He's worshiping the Lord. It is time that the church quits being so quiet and gets more expressive. And don't be ashamed to shout hallelujah or praise the Lord or amen. Because it is amen. Amen is an ancient Hebrew word which means let it be so. It's true. Amen. Verily, verily. Well, it's just my personality to be quiet. Well, I know our personalities are challenged by God's word. God says, stop doing this and start doing that. And we have to repent of certain things. Shout. And let the shout be one of joy. Because you're shouting not to me, not to the person that's sitting by you, not to the person that's in the corner watching. You're shouting to who? Your Lord. You are in His presence. God is watching. He is the audience. You are the participants. If this was your last Sunday to ever worship the Lord, how would you want to go out? I want to go out dancing and shouting. I got this picture in my mind. It's for a different reason. It's Ken Dietz. Where's Ken? There's Ken. When Ken Dietz met Doris And he met with me because Ken and I are close, and we talk about a lot of things through the years. He says, oh, I think I've met the one, but I want you to know, Patrick, I'm going to take my time. I'm not going to get in a rush. And then it's only 8 days, and I see Ken miraculously without his cane coming in the door, eyes fixed on me. And I knew something was different because he was coming in the door different, Miss Doris. It was like this. I thought, Ken's been healed. What's going on, Ken? Why are you so happy? This April, I've been ministry here 15 years. I've been in the ministry for 33 years. I've never seen anybody walk in the door dancing. The closest thing we ever get in here is Carol Glambo showing up late, waving her hand when she comes in. But that's the picture of the attitude that I believe God wants you to have. He wants me to have. I am shouting to the Lord because I am full of joy because of the Lord, and the Lord is worthy of the shout. So stop being quiet and start getting up on the tips of your toes and saying, hallelujah, praise the Lord, amen, or whatever God gives you, let it rip. God deserves it. Raise the roof. Don't keep quiet. Praise His name. What do you think happens when people really walk into a place where God is revered and held in awe, and people are rejoicing and claiming His name as their only hope? God's Spirit moves to convict hearts through worship, and people fall down and say, surely God is in this place. Shout for joy. That is the first imperative, the first command of the seven commands in Psalm 100. Worship the Lord with gladness. Now, this word worship is not the most literal word here. The most literal is serve. Serve the Lord with gladness, but it encompasses are coming before God. It encompasses worship. Worship is a great word, but serve and worship, if we had a word in the English for that, would be better. Because an act of service to the Lord is an act of worship. And this, as worship, is an act of service. They're sort of like the same thing, but they involve two things. Worship the Lord with gladness. Now, that's not to say that in our times in our life when we're just like feeling perplexed and overwhelmed and that things are closing in. But Paul says you're not crushed. There's times in our life where just the mental fatigue of all the stuff and the battle and the world and civil unrest and COVID or this person's death, that it truly does impact us. However, we continue our acts of service, which are worship to God, and we gather on the first day of the week, as God has commanded, to praise and magnify His name. In Psalm 34, it says, let us together magnify the name of the Lord. We know what magnify means. Make that name big. Worship the Lord with gladness. So there's joy in coming before the Lord. There is gladness in coming before the Lord. Come before Him with joyful song. This third imperative, come. God's invitation, come. It's about personal relationship, personal invitation. I'm here because God has invited me. Whosoever will may come. The Holy Spirit, the church, the bride say, come. Come, let us worship the Lord. Come, let us enter into His presence. In one sense, we are always in the presence of God. In one sense, everything we do is a spiritual act of worship. But here, the people coming to the temple and entering the courts are coming there as an invitation by God. And it's not just to the Jewish chosen people of God. It is to all the earth, to all people. Come. And then the middle command is a little unusual. No. It sort of centers itself, and the previous three and the last three sort of hinge on it. Know that the Lord is God. Here's why we worship with joy. Here is why we come into His presence with gladness. This is why we shout, because we know that the Lord is God, and only He is God, and that there is no other God. It is one God, God the Father, and He is the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He is the God of the Old Testament. He is the God of the New Testament. There is one, and there is no other like Him. All other gods are false. All other gods are make-believe and in people's imagination. And He goes by the name Yahweh. Yahweh. People say, don't matter what you call this one monotheistic God. Yes, it does, because Yahweh is a specific kind of God that has specific attributes, and not all names that represent any God that people will call Him represents who He is. But Yahweh does. Adonai does. Elohim does. We know that the Lord is God. Do you know in your heart, as you sit here today, that there is one Lord and He is God and there is no other? Hallelujah is what I say for that reality and truth. That's the rationale. That's the motivation for the worship that we have of God. It is He who made us. Some translations will look to say here, it is He who made us and we are His. Or they will translate it, it is He who made us. We didn't make ourselves. He made us. You didn't make yourself. We are His people, the sheep of His pasture. I like that. I'm His. I'm part of His people. I'm one of the sheep. And the sheep listen to His voice. They don't listen to the lies. They don't listen to all the things that would cause their focus to be taken away from God. We are His. We are the people of the one and only God. How much better does it get? You can walk out that door today knowing that because God is yours and you are His, that all is truly well with your soul. But you might need to rethink how you come in those doors and how you go out those doors each Sunday morning. We may need to rethink that when we're here together, whether it's singing or praying or the sermon is being given, I don't need to be thinking about what I'm going to do after I leave church. I don't need to think about, is the crock pot still going? Or is the restaurants open? And am I going to beat so-and-so there so I can get in line first, so I can get out quick? When we are here, let all of our thoughts, all of our energy, all of our strength, all of our focus be on the Lord God who is worthy. There'll be enough distractions once we leave here. But when we're here, oh, please, please let us give God the glory that is due Him by the way we look to Him, by our attitudes, by the way we treat each other. One thing I don't worry about is Kentwood Christian Church. I am serious. God has put a peace in my heart. This church has been through it all. And God just keeps lavishing gifts and keeps blessing. When it seems like your back is in the corner, or what are you going to do, or what's happening here, or can you believe that, or this attack, they're just blessing after blessing after blessing. That's what God is doing at the Kentwood Christian Church. He started it back probably a little bit before 1964, but for the last 57 years, God's hand has been on this church, and God's hand will continue to be on this church as long as we humble ourselves in His sight and make Jesus the greatest thing in our life, that truly He becomes greater and we become less, because when we become less in our own eyes, it humbles us and it makes us hungry for the things of God. Number 6, enter His gates with thanksgiving. Now this takes you back to the temple and the temple courts and the Gentile courts and people coming into Jerusalem from the walls and all the different gates. And there's a lot of discrepancy on how many gates there actually were. Some are sealed even today. But the point is, they were coming from all different directions to enter Jerusalem, to enter the temple courts to praise God. Enter His gates with thanksgiving. When is the last time that on a regular basis, as you enter His church, that thanksgiving and gladness and joy and shout, but especially thanksgiving here, is in your mind and on your heart and on your lips? Wouldn't it be a wonderful thing, especially if you're a greeter? But just stand back and watch however many people come to service here each week. To come through these doors like a Carol Glambos, waving the hand, praise the Lord, I'm here. Or Ken Dietz, he's got his cane now, but we can pray, Ken. But I'm serious. Nothing is so bad in this life or this world that God doesn't supersede it with shouts of joy, praise, worship, gladness, and joy. And that we ought to enter these doors with thanksgiving in our heart, and we ought to look like we're thankful. Not like, oh, here we go again. I wonder how long he's going to talk. How loud's that music going to be? You know, Patrick, now, you heard him last week. He said it's supposed to be noisy. So now here it is. They really turned it up. They're cranking on it now. I'm going to bring my earplugs. Enter His gates with thanksgiving and His courts with praise. Give thanks to Him and praise His name. And so there are those last three imperatives. Enter, give thanks, and praise His name. Why? For the Lord is good and His love endures forever. That's why we do it. God is good. He's not a bad God. He is a good God, and so He's a good God, and He's our God, and we're His people, so we praise Him and rejoice because His goodness and love endures forever in our lives, too. His faithfulness continues through all generations. God will never fail you. Man will fail you. other people will fail you. Family will fail you. The government will fail you. The world will fail you. Satan will definitely fail you. But God, the only God who is your God, will never, ever, ever fail you. So let's stand together as Matt comes out so we can close in worship, and let us worship like it is maybe the last opportunity we get to shout and sing praises to the Lord. May His name be eternally praised by His people. Hallelujah. Yeah.